Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, March 14th, 2017. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Idaho House votes for a bill prohibiting school districts from promoting bonds and levies. Washington legislation would make it easier to commit heroin and opioid addicts by declaring them gravely disabled. Moscow police to target distracted driving during University of Idaho Moms Weekend in April, and Latah County emergency declaration may come tomorrow due to flooding. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho House voted 53-16 in favor of a bill today which would make it illegal for local governments or school districts to use public funds or facilities to influence bond or levy elections. The bill, sponsored by Republican Representative Jason Monks of Meridian, notes public officials have First Amendment rights to speak about election issues, but they won't be able to express those views in mass emailings using a publicly funded email account. The bill also would allow the government to declare a bond or levy election invalid if it's influenced through the use of public funds or property. It sets criminal fines of up to $1,000, and violators could also be compelled to pay restitution. The Spokesman Review website quoted Monks telling the House, "When you are using taxpayer money to advocate for the outcome of an election or taxpayer resources, that's not fair. It's not appropriate because those are not available for the opposite side." Democrat Elena Rubel of Boise told the House, "I think this is really a move in the wrong direction. We have chronically underfunded schools. Now we're throwing tax in the path of those who are trying to get that supplemental funding. This creates a criminal offense for those who would go out and advocate and might make a misstep. The mayors of these cities, they're not trying to fund a trip to the Bahamas for this. They're trying to get funding to do this, and now we're going to be threatening them with criminal penalties for doing this. We can't keep putting the squeeze on." All House Democrats voted against the bill, along with five Republicans. House Bill 270 now heads to the Senate. The Spokesman Review website reports Republican Representative Ron Nate of Rexburg was caught on a live mic during a time when the House was at ease this morning, saying, "We all know our districts. We know that there are some teachers that are clearly overpaid." On the record, Representative Nate is arguing against a number of funding bills by saying the money could be used to pay teachers more. An example reported by the Spokesman Review was this morning's statement by Nate against House Bill 262, which had passed, adding $2 million for college and career counseling in public schools. Nate told the House, "I stand to debate against the bill. It's not just a redistribution. It's adding $2 million to that spending item, which is a 40% increase. And while it's going to schools for college and career advising, we still have the teacher problem, and if we were able to pay our teachers more, especially in the areas of science and math, we'd be able to attract and retain the good teachers that we have in Idaho." Nate said he calculated the $2 million could fund 53 new teacher positions. Speaking of the comments caught on the microphone and therefore on the internet feed of House proceedings, Nate said, "If I did say it, I either misspoke or I was leading to another point. My perception of the teachers in my district is they're all stellar. I've had good experiences with my teachers in my district." A group of House Republicans in Boise say they will introduce legislation later in the week that will improve health care by increasing the number of family residency slots, create a loan forgiveness program to help recruit doctors to community health centers, and provide some limited coordinated care, such as annual health screenings and diabetes management. Republican Representative John Vanderwood of Nampa, who is leading the campaign for the new bill, wrote in a statement, "Idaho fought to ensure we maintain local control of our health care system. With the election of President Donald Trump, now is the time to change Idaho's healthcare system without interference from federal government. Today, healthcare is expensive and inefficient. We have a solution to fix it." Idaho legislators are looking at using old funding methods for new road repairs in the state. The current system does not have enough money to cover repairs to Idaho's aging roads and bridges, which has resulted in an annual $262 million transportation deficit, according to the Associated Press. The Grant Anticipation Revenue Bonds, or GARVEY bonds, allow states like Idaho to pay for new road projects with future federal highway payment money. That allows states to fund critical highway projects without appropriating the money first. Last week, Republican Burt Brackett of Rogerson introduced legislation in the House which would allow Idaho to borrow $300 million for road projects. Brackett's proposal identifies 12 of 13 corridors that would be funded with GARVEY bonds, including a new Snake River Bridge in south-central Idaho and U.S. Highway 30 improvements in eastern Idaho. Brackett said Republicans have already blocked an attempt to raise the state's gas tax this year to help repair roads. He said using GARVEY bonds is one of the few remaining transportation funding options left to lawmakers. Latah County officials are expecting more flooding in local streams from heavy rain over the next few days. According to the Northwest River Forecast Center, flooding in the Palouse River near Potlatch this morning was a 95% certainty. Flooding is also possible in some areas up until late Thursday. The National Weather Service reports the mild temperatures and moderate rain will lead to increased risks of continued flooding. Officials monitoring water levels say the Palouse River is expected to crest at 19 feet tonight, more than 4 feet above flood stage. If that prediction holds, this will be the third highest flood level ever recorded by the Northwest River Forecast Center. The highest level ever recorded on the Palouse River occurred 21 years ago when it crested at 22.15 feet in February 1996. According to the Daily News, Latah County commissioners are expected to declare an emergency tomorrow. Yesterday, county officials met with officials from local highway districts and disaster services coordinator Mike Neal to prepare for the declaration. According to Idaho emergency statutes, all Idaho counties are required to reach a federal emergency management agency declared threshold before a disaster declaration is made. Latah County's threshold is $134,451. Neal told the Daily News, "With everything that's happened from the bridge in Potlatch to our road crews to Moscow and all that stuff, we finally met and exceeded that threshold." County Commissioner Tom Lamar said, "I am very much supportive of trying to figure out how to provide relief to all the different taxing districts within Latah County that have been damaged by a series of storms." Lamar predicted commissioners will approve the disaster declaration tomorrow at their regularly scheduled meeting at the Kendrick Fire Hall. Idaho Office of Emergency Management Area Field Officer Robert Feely said, "A state declaration focuses on emergency repairs and is appropriate for the county." Feely said, however, "a federal disaster declaration is something the county may not be ready for." He said a federal declaration focuses on things like road restoration and building. Heroin and other opioid users struggling with dependency and addiction issues could be forced into hospitals or other facilities if a proposal introduced in the Washington Senate passes. According to the Associated Press, the bill would expand the Involuntary Treatment Act by declaring heroin and opioid users, quote, "gravely disabled," meaning users are at risk of physical harm because they are unable to take care of their immediate health and safety needs. The measure's sponsor, Republican Steve O'Bann of University Place, said he believes the bill is the start of a discussion because he believes it will probably not advance this session. O'Bann said under Senate Bill 5811, people could be detained if, within 12 months, they've had three or more arrests for substance abuse, had one or more drug-related hospitalization, or if they had three or more visible track marks indicating heroin needle use. The National Alliance for Model State Drug Laws says 37 states and the District of Columbia have statutes in place that allow involuntary commitment of people who suffer from substance use disorder, addiction, or alcoholism. The Moscow Police Department has reported someone stole almost $8,000 worth of merchandise from Tri-State Outfitters on West Pullman Road late Saturday night or early Sunday morning. According to the Daily News, someone stole goods including two handguns, a shotgun, spotting scopes, laser aiming devices, and a rangefinder. Moscow Police Captain Roger Lanier said thieves apparently gained entrance by making a hole in the wall in the rear of the building's stockroom. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. U.S. Attorney for Eastern Washington Mike Ormsby was one of the 45 U.S. District Attorneys to turn in their resignations Friday when asked by new U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Now Spokane County Prosecutor Larry Haskell is considered a leading candidate to replace Ormsby under the Trump administration. Haskell, who was an early Trump supporter, says he has applied for the job but has not heard back. The Inlander did a story last week on Haskell's policy of not negotiating plea bargains with those who have at least 9 felony convictions. In the story, critics, including District Judge Marianne Morena, said not taking into consideration other factors when making prosecuting decisions does not serve justice. Spokane County Public Defender Tom Kersminski was quoted in the Inlander saying, "Would Larry be the federal prosecutor who starts going after marijuana crimes on a federal level here? I think he would." The paper reports since Haskell became the county prosecutor, diversions to drug courts have dropped in half, and the drug courts in the county are now operating at half capacity. U.S. Attorney Mike Ormsby, who resigned last week, prosecuted the case against Spokane police officer Carl F. Thompson Jr. for his role in the beating death of disabled janitor Otto Zem. Ormsby inherited the indictment from the U.S. attorney before him, James McDivitt. Longtime Assistant U.S. Attorney Joseph Harrington will now serve as Eastern Washington's interim U.S. Attorney. Ormsby did not criticize the Trump administration's sudden decision to ask 46 U.S. attorneys to hand in their resignations by the end of the business day Friday, but another U.S. attorney in the region did. Montana U.S. Attorney Mike Cotter told the Associated Press he received a phone call from acting Deputy U.S. Attorney General Dana Boente Friday afternoon and was told to submit his resignation effective at 5 p.m. Montana time. Cotter said, "I thought it was pretty unprofessional what happened today on Friday, March 10th. What was so important that all Obama appointees who are U.S. attorneys need to be gone?" Cotter said, "Former Presidents George W. Bush and Barack Obama let U.S. attorneys continue to work at their jobs until their replacements were confirmed by the Senate. He said, I was stunned. I was shocked. There's a classy way to do things. This doesn't make sense." Cotter has canceled meetings he planned with Native American officials on the Fort Belknap and Fort Peck reservations for this week, where he intended to discuss law enforcement and legal issues. He also canceled meetings on the Crow and Cheyenne reservations scheduled for next week. The Moscow City Council's Public Works Finance Committee yesterday afternoon put the submittal of a $9,400 Emphasis Patrol grant application on the consent agenda for next Monday's City Council meeting. The money from the Idaho Transportation Department Office of Highway Safety would pay for police overtime for targeting distracted drivers and those without seatbelts during the University of Idaho Moms Weekend, April 21st through 23rd. City Grants Coordinator Elisa Anderson presented Moscow Police Department Traffic Officer Jay Waters to the committee.
So I will let Jay go ahead and talk to you about how he implements this with his
officers. Drive around a lot. So essentially, I did choose Mom's Weekend on purpose, and that's because our city is going to be flooded with people. And whether you folks have any personal dealings with distracted driving or not, I'm sure you do. I see it all the time.
Everyone does.
Everyone, right. So it is a problem. It does cause a lot of crashes. It's just not safe. And even though the Idaho Transportation Department they no longer do scheduled emphasis patrols for distracted driving, they do leave it up to the individual departments to apply for these mini grants so that they can do them during times that are more beneficial to them. In the past, when ITD did have the distracted driving grants, they did it over holidays, which is the worst time to do one for us because that's when everybody leaves. So they were kind of inconvenient for us the way they had them scheduled. Now it kind of helps because now we can plan them to suit our individual city and our individual needs during time frames that are beneficial to us. What I also like to do is I like to try and include our neighboring agencies. I've invited Latah County to play. I've invited ISP to play. Sergeant Rich Adamson's here. He's my liaison with ISP. They're going to have cars and personnel up to assist with this. Latah County's providing a few cars to help with this, and so it's a multi-jurisdictional emphasis, focusing on distracted driving as well as seatbelt usage. But we're also, you know, the officers are also going to expand for bicycle violations because we do have that sort of thing going on, people cruising down the wrong side of the road. We have crosswalk violations, you know, where people almost get hit walking across the street to the co-op. I mean, we have all these things in our town, and if we have all these cars over a weekend where we have a lot of people in town, it just makes sense.
You going to be using some school buses this time? Or
no school buses. We're going to use two unmarked Suburbans provided by Latah County. So no bus this time. And they can actually get more places than the buses can.
So in here it also talks about your pre- and post- survey.
Yeah, that's a requirement by ITD. So approximately a week prior to the emphasis beginning, I just pick a spot in the city somewhere where I can see traffic, and I'll sit there and I'll count cars and I'll count vehicles that people are texting on as they go by, and I do a ratio, do some math, and find out what the percentage of people driving are while distracted, and then we'll also do another one after the emphasis is concluded. But that's for paperwork purposes to ITD. Reporting.
That was Moscow Police Department Traffic Officer Jay Waters speaking to the City Council's Public Works Finance Committee yesterday. The Pullman City Council tonight will be asked to authorize Police Chief Gary Jenkins to accept $10,000 from the Washington Traffic Safety Commission for overtime for police who participate in standard field sobriety tests on 70 volunteers in Washington State University Chemistry Department research for developing roadside THC detection in drivers. THC is the main psychoactive ingredient in marijuana. Washington State University staff, who along with police will do the research, will collect breath, oral fluid, and blood samples. The research work is expected to be completed by the end of September. The City Council will also be asked to vote on a motion to reject all bids on a contract to repair sidewalks and other city concrete items. The work would have included replacing damaged sidewalks, constructing an RV dump station pad, constructing reinforced concrete steps at the city booster station, and replacing brick pavers around tree wells on Main Street. The low bid was under $150,000 from Curtis Concrete Construction Incorporated, while the city's engineer estimate for the job was $121,000. The council will also be asked to approve a collective bargaining agreement for city library workers negotiated with Teamsters Union Local 690. The Pullman City Council will meet at 7 p.m. tonight at City Hall. The 30th Annual Native American Awareness Week at Lewis Clark State College in Lewiston is going on this week, and there will be powwows, performances, discussions, and a friendship banquet. This year's theme is Leading a Legacy Another 30 Years, and is put on by the LCSC Native American Club and the Native American Minority Student Services at LCSC. There will be several individual and panel discussions tomorrow and Thursday, and there will be a powwow Friday night. Comedian J.R. Redwater, a member of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, will perform a free stand-up performance on Wednesday at the LCSC Williams Conference Center. Redwater is part of Chief's Comedy Tour and has been performing on Showtime on TV as well. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast, there is a flood warning in effect for the Palouse River near Potlatch, also for the Little Spokane River at Dartford, the Coeur d'Alene River at Cataldo, and the St. Joe River at St. Mary's. Speaking specifically of the Palouse River near Potlatch, the flood warning will be in effect until Friday morning. At 3:15 p.m. today, the stage was 14.4 feet. Flood stage is 15.0 feet. Major flooding is forecast. The Palouse River is forecast to rise above the flood stage of 15 feet by early this evening and continue rising through the night. At this time, a crest around 17 feet is expected tomorrow morning, followed by another quick rise Wednesday night, which could push the secondary crest as high as 19.3 feet early in the morning. The river is forecast to fall below flood stage by Thursday afternoon. The spring snowmelt runoff in lakes and rivers is dangerously cold and could be life-threatening for those who come into contact with the water. Be aware large debris can be in the river. High water levels can push logs and other large debris in the river, increasing the danger to people and boats. Never drive cars, trucks, or sport utility vehicles through flooded areas. The water may be too deep to allow for safe passage. As little as 1 foot of water on the road can move most vehicles off the road. For the Potlatch River, flood stage is 15 feet. It could rise as high as 19.3 feet. At 16.5 feet, water will be up to the back door of the city shop in Palouse. Water will approach the home on Main Street near Hayton Green Park. Lions Club Park and Palouse will be submerged, and water will be around the playground at the Hayton Green Park. At 17.5 feet, water would be around over Flanagan Creek Road, where it crosses the Palouse River just downstream from Potlatch. And at 19.0, major flooding will occur between Potlatch, Idaho, and Palouse, Washington. Besides that flood warning, there is a flood watch for Paradise Creek in Moscow. The spring snow melt runoff in lakes and rivers is dangerously cold. The flood watch will be going till Thursday morning. Flood stage is 9.2 feet for Paradise Creek. As of 9:45 this morning, it was 8.1 feet. Minor flooding is possible Wednesday and Thursday. Mild and breezy conditions are expected through Thursday, raising concern of melting snow entering Paradise Creek. Periods of light rain are expected through Wednesday night, with some heavy rain possible Wednesday evening. At this time, the highest possibility of flooding would be Wednesday night into Thursday morning. Forecast for the Moscow Pullman area for the next couple of days. 90% chance of rain tonight, steady temperature around 51, up to a half inch of rain possible. 90% chance of rain tomorrow, high 54, up to a quarter inch of rain possible. Wednesday night, rain before midnight, then scattered showers after midnight. Rain could be heavy at times, 100% chance of precipitation. New precipitation amounts between a quarter and a half inch possible, low 38. South winds 5 to 15 becoming west with gusts up to 20. Mostly sunny Thursday, high 50. Breezy west winds 15 to 20, gusts up to 30 miles an hour.